News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Fionnuala Corbett is with us. She's presenter on Dave and Fionnuala on iRadio, and she's going to give us an update on some of the stories that you may not yet have heard and some analysis on those that you have. I assume it's always this warm here, Fionnuala, is it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Tropical climate in the Midlands. Yeah, yeah.
Where we kick off is with an interesting story in respect of Veronica Guerin, because the family of Veronica Guerin are being quoted as saying that it would have been helpful, I'm paraphrasing slightly, but that it would have been of great benefit to them if somebody had had the guts to say sorry.
Yes. So her brother, Jamie Guerin, who is now, I believe, an election representative for the constituency of Fingal, he is highlighting that it really is the family who suffered the life sentence in the wake of Veronica's murder, which, of course, is 30 years ago today. So
30 years ago.
30 years ago. Yeah, this is the 30th anniversary. So as the Justice Minister, Jim O'Callaghan, has said, as shocking now as it was then. Brian Meehan has been behind bars for nearly 27 years. He was given a life sentence for her murder. He was accepted by the non-jury special criminal court that he had driven the stolen motorcycle. Now, Jamie Guerin is highlighting that, you know, really only one of the people involved in the killing was jailed for it. John Gilligan, one of the more known names connected to it, but of course he was cleared of her murder by the special criminal court, and it was quite a lengthy conviction for drug trafficking he got following on. But the legacy of Veronica is, of course, the setting up of the Criminal Assets Bureau, and that people still remember her name. And if we go to the fact that it was dramatised with Cate Blanchett playing Veronica Guerin, you know, it's just, it's a wide ranging legacy. And the Garda Commissioner, Justin Kelly, pointing out as well that he feels the legacy of her death is that it's not an easy place for organised criminals in Ireland now. She has made it more difficult.
Words like senseless and pointless are often used in the instance of killings like that. But from the perspective of the people involved in doing it, it was not just senseless and pointless. It was utterly counterproductive because of what it brought down upon them with the Criminal Assets Bureau.
Absolutely. Brought that attention on them, as you say. And with the setting up of the Criminal Assets Bureau, they actually confiscated house, lands and an equestrian centre at Jessbrook Estate in County Kildare belonging to John Gilligan. So absolutely, it was not without consequence.
And of course, those confiscations being to do with assets believed to be derived from other crimes that he may have been involved in, hence CAB moving in on them. Now, let us talk about The Lonely Planet, which, of course, gives a review of the best places to go for tourists around the world. And among the best places to go is not O'Connell Street in Dublin, which it says essentially is manky.
A troubled street with visible drug use, vacant buildings, derelict upper floors and long-stalled redevelopments. Just some of the ways they're describing what is our main thoroughfare in our capital city. So it's not great. I'm looking through as well. I do enjoy the fact that...
Sorry to cut across, if you know, but I do want to point out, did you see the sort of look of arrogant self-satisfaction that Ricky had when we were criticising the centre of the city?
I missed that.
He had the look of a man who's like, you should see my callows if you don't like this. Sorry, I cut across. So what else do they say about it?
I do enjoy the description of it as edgier and more lived in than its Southside counterpart. I feel we're heading towards slightly euphemistic there. But it's sad to see an international tourism publication describing our main street in this way.
I think visible drug use.
Yeah, they're highlighting that, and they are also saying that really the dereliction, there is, I know they're speaking as well to a businessman, Paul Gallagher, who's talking about aggressive shoplifting, just doesn't seem to be a nice area. Now, I will point out, they are highlighting the level of history as well. They're pointing out the epic Irish Migration Museum, the Jeannie Johnston famine ship, the GPO as well. So they are highlighting some of the positives and the fact that there is a 2-Michelin-star restaurant in the neighbourhood as well.
You would have to imagine, though, that if you're a tourist and you're looking and you're saying there's a nice museum, there's a nice restaurant, and there's also people on the street taking drugs, you're probably going to go elsewhere, even if there's a nice museum and a nice restaurant.
And yes, they're highlighting as well the movement of retail away from O'Connell Street, and the fact that a lot of fast food outlets, just maybe not something that's going to draw the eye and is going to make you want to spend a time, because physically the street is beautiful, but just maybe what's on it needs an upgrade.
Now, compared to a lot of countries around the world, I think we have one of the highest percentages of passport ownership. I mean, if you look at the US, I think something to the order of 50% of people don't even have a passport. Almost everybody in Ireland has one, so it'll impact on all of us at some point. There's a redesign on the way.
Yeah, so obviously it's one of the most powerful passports in the world. It's getting us into 186 countries without a visa. But what they've done is they have redesigned after a public consultation, and it's an Irish wolfhound redesign. Now, I was looking at some of the other options that people were voting for. They seem limited to kind of flora and fauna, but you had the puffin, the red squirrel and heather were also popular choices.
Who's Heather? Sorry.
Who is she?
Resist, I
Heather Humphreys? When we get her on the passport? We was looking through my own passport and I didn't realise the amount of artwork that's in it already. I just hadn't paid attention. I mean, you open the page that has your photo on it and all your details. That's what you show when you're flying. But I mean, you're looking at the Liam McCarthy and Sam Maguire are stenciled onto some of the pages with people playing GAA. The Convention Centre in Dublin is there on my passport anyway. Harps, of course, make an appearance. So it's a...
Got an unusual passport because I don't recall seeing any of this on my... Now, I haven't spent a lot of attention looking at it.
But that was exactly it. I just thought, oh, I saw this and I said, I'm going to have a look through my own passport and see maybe... So someone is putting in a lot of work to the passport design as it currently is, but now the redesign.
And lastly, we have research that establishes why humans laugh and how long we have been doing it.
Well, and also the fact that we're very similar to apes with our laughing. So maybe that makes you think of someone in your life. I'm not sure. Apes have been laughing like humans for 15 million years, according to University of Warwick researchers. It's more because the rhythm of silences between the sounds of laughter, that's what they're highlighting as similar. But what they did was they recorded kids under 8 and compared them to orangutans, chimpanzees and gorillas. Now, we are a bit more sophisticated, Anton, because we laugh differently in different situations, like nervous laughter or a joke. But the apes are just laughing when they're tickled.
Now, hang on a minute. How do they know how something laughed 15 million years ago?
Ash, there was very sophisticated recording equipment back then. Zoom recorders, dictaphones, I don't know. Yeah, I haven't asked the University of Warwick researchers exactly how they went about it, but I was thinking, like, who are, when I think of distinctive laughs, immediately Jimmy Carr is coming to mind. I'm not saying it's ape-like, but he comes to mind as
I, every time
laugh.
I hear it, I want to stage an intervention because what even, he asserts that that is his natural laugh, so it is not for me to question him. But surely there must be some kind of cognitive behavioural therapy he could do to train himself out of it.
But why would you want to? If that's associated with
because his job requires him to do it about every 6 or 7 minutes and it's like nails on a chalkboard.
Fair enough. I would count it as a little bit more entertaining than that.
Fionnuala, thank you very much. That is Fionnuala Corbett, who is presenter on Dave and Fionnuala on iRadio. If you want to get in touch, 53106 at a cost of 30 cents. If you have exciting designs, if you've found the Sam Maguire in your passport, let us.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.